You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And a big thanks to our presenting sponsor, Zondervan, a revered and reliable source for transformative and inspirational content. Support this podcast by visiting zondervan.com and find your next favorite book. Now, on to the show.
Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan De La Rosa. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Rashawn Copeland for giving me this amazing opportunity to be able to share my testimony with you guys. If you want to go ahead and follow me on Instagram, my handle is Ryan E. De La Rosa. And if you want to find me on Facebook, my name is simply Ryan De La Rosa. And I'm very honored to share with you my testimony. But I was gay. I know it's hard to believe that God would be able to set someone free from this lifestyle, but truly I tell you that He did. You know, growing up, I knew the rights and the wrongs of what not to do. I grew up in a very traditional church, a church that had rules, routine, judgment. Transitioning to a more modern church, I found myself being free to, you know, thrive and grow in the gifts that God had given me. And soon after that, I was able to find out and realize that I had a preacher in me. And I just want to thank my youth pastor at the time for helping me grow through that season and find out. And he was able to pull something out of me. But throughout all of this, there was something in me that I knew for a fact wasn't right. And of course, any young person would tell you, and I'd be the first to tell you, that when I started middle school and worked my way through high school, I started dabbling in pornography. It wasn't just normal pornography, it was homosexual pornography. I was judged, I was criticized, I was mocked, and my identity was misconstrued by a lot of peers and a lot of friends who I thought I could call friends. They kept calling me queer, homo. My identity was lost, and I didn't know who I was. Even though I went to church, even though I knew who I was in Christ, I wasn't strong in that identity. And so many people kept feeding the wrong identity. When I was in my teenage years, between my freshman and my sophomore year, I ended up having to go work at a job. And what I didn't realize was, well, that was one of the worst summers of my life. I was abused by another coworker in our employment bathroom. I was taken advantage of. I was touched in places I didn't want to be touched. And from that moment on, I knew that the enemy would ignite something in my life that I did not want. Shortly down the road, I was just engaging in sexual conversations with other people my age, on MySpace, on chat sites, on places that I didn't think I would find myself in, while still trying to maintain a godly image. I was destroying my life piece by piece by piece. Later, I ended up transitioning to college, and I was super excited because I was going to a prestigious college where I was the first of both of my families to graduate to go to. And even though it was a Christian college, I didn't realize that I would find myself struggling again with homosexuality for almost 4 years. And the Lord did a lot of great things in my life. You know, there was a lot of prophetic words being ministered to. There was a lot of crazy, radical moments in the Holy Spirit at university in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went to Oral Roberts University, for those of you who have never heard of it. It was so cool to be able to realize and find out that I had a purpose and God had a plan. But the enemy didn't want that. Sooner or later, as soon as I graduated college, I ended up going on a mission trip to Israel, and I was so blessed to be able to go. And afterwards, I found myself dating one girl. And I was so blessed because I thought, man, I can walk away from this lifestyle and be with this girl. Well, it turns out that my sins were exposed, and I had to confess my sins to my pastors and finally to my parents. For almost 7 years, I had not said a word to nobody, to anyone. And only God knew through this whole years, this whole seasons of my life. It was devastating, but I'm so glad that there needed to be exposure, restoration, and healing. So moving forward, I was given the honor of becoming a youth director for one of our local church campuses, and I ended up finding myself dating another girl. This girl ended up becoming my girlfriend, and from my girlfriend, she ended up becoming my fiance. However, in 2018, after my engagement, I ended up finding myself back at struggling with homosexuality. This time, I was very deep in my sin that I was committing sexual affairs behind her back with so many men. I would come home late. I would engage in sexual conversations with other men that I shouldn't have been engaging in. And of course, the Lord really whispered to me one July morning and said that it was time for him to expose this again. And of course, I didn't believe it, but don't underestimate when God speaks. Sure enough, my sins were exposed, and my parents knew, my pastors knew, and there was a lot of disappointment with them and with my family. And here I thought, you know what, Lord, I can love you and still live in this lifestyle. And I wanted to live in this lifestyle while still loving God. My heart was black, it was stony, it was cold. There was no emotion, there was so much pride in me. It came to the point where I had been in relationships with several guys that only caused my heart to be broken. And it ended up letting my life go down a road of depression, anxiety, and even suicidal thoughts. And there came a point where my parents found out again that I had been talking with someone, and they kicked me out of my house, only to find myself looking for an apartment. But the story doesn't get sad anymore. Around November, after my birthday, I ended up, like I said, having to go find an apartment. And as soon as I walked into this apartment complex to look for one, I ended up befriending someone who I didn't think would be one of the best people in my life. I didn't realize that this gentleman had walked out of his lifestyle recently. And sure enough, the Lord just started speaking to me about how, even though I may be far away from his presence, he'll still chase me down. I love what it says in Psalms 139, where it says, no matter where I go, his presence is always there. And on November 12th, I ended up walking in one of the most amazing restoration processes ever. I tell you the truth that I lived a very dark lifestyle of homosexuality. A lot of pornography, a lot of anger, a lot of pride. But I really just want to let you know how good my God is. And I cannot thank God enough for, one, sending me an amazing best friend who I'm going to give a shout out to. His name is Anthony. He has helped me overcome this lifestyle time and time again. He has been my accountability partner. And I'll tell you the truth, that God really had to do a work in my life. God had to remove some stony pieces of my heart. God had to heal my heart of the brokenness, of the abuse, of the depression, the anxiety, the suicide. It didn't take a physical therapist to do that. It didn't take people to talk to. No. God really had to use me and he really had to isolate me to say, it's time for me to heal you. At the beginning of 2019, I started fasting with my friend, and we ended up seeing so many things that God was doing in my life and in his life as well. But I tell you, the truth is that I was no longer living this lifestyle. I started preaching again. I started encouraging others in the Lord again. And of course, God had to still remove some things in my life. And there were some things about being intentional in my life. But I tell you that God is so good. God is so good that he will meet you where you're at. He will take whatever you give him and he will turn it around for your good and for his glory. And I love the fact that God was able to take someone broken and make them beautiful again. So my encouragement to you is, wherever you're at, wherever you find yourself, know that God is already there to meet you, encounter you, and his presence has gone before you, and he'll never leave you alone. Start where you are, and God will take you where you need to be. Thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to share. I hope you guys were blessed. And I pray that God will literally make your story so bright to reflect and shine his glory. In Jesus' name.
Start where you are, and God will take you where you need to be. Such a powerful testimony. How God meets us in our mess. He loves us through it. And he leads us out of it. Where do you go for help? Who do you cry out to when the bottom of life falls out? It's important that you pray. Help is only a prayer away when you pray. When you think of prayer, what comes to mind? When you pray, what is it that you want from God? What requests dominate your life of prayer? True prayer happens at the intersection of surrender and celebration. Prayer is profoundly more than just passing off a wish list to some cosmic Santa Claus. Prayer is the dialogue, the divine connection between the Creator and the creation that can alter and shift the course of your lives. It's much more than profoundly handing off a wish list to God and letting him know what you want from him, or how thankful you are to him that he exists in his power to deliver the things that you want. It's much more than that. This kind of prayer puts you at the center of your own life. In a real way, it reduces God down to some type of divine waiter or some type of cosmic Santa Claus. But that's not the case. It's not him that you want when you pray like this. It's not his wisdom that you see yourself needing. It's not his grace that your heart craves. Wishlist prayers essentially say, I know what's best for my life, and I'd appreciate it, God, if you would deliver what I need in this moment. And God does not want us to pray prayers like this. You pray like this whenever you forget that God, as your creator, as your savior, knows you infinitely with all wisdom and knowledge and understanding more than you know yourself. So it's less about want and it's more about the need and not greed, not wanting more stuff, but saying, God, yes, you're enough. And I surrender in this moment and I celebrate all that you're doing in and through and around and above and beyond in my life. In true prayer, you surrender your claim to your own life, to the greater and the wiser plans and purposes of a true and sovereign God. You submit your will to his will. It's not God signing off to your little wish list, but it's you surrendering your life to his list, his purposes.
Let's take a quick break to hear from a sponsor.
Have you ever felt helpless as you look around at the needs in the world today? So many of us wonder if there's anything we can really do to help. Well, we want to tell you about a new book from our friends at Zondervan called Disruptive Compassion that just might answer some of these questions. With raw and inspiring stories from the world's most desperate places, Convoy of Hope founder and CEO Hal Donaldson takes us on a tour along the front lines of courage and compassion. Let this book be your crash course in what it means to become a revolutionary as you learn how to evaluate the resources you already have, navigate real concerns and risks, check your motives, and ultimately become equipped as an agitator with purpose. Disruptive Compassion by Hal Donaldson is available for pre-order now wherever you buy books. Get your copy today. Hey guys, we're so glad you joined us today. Would you be willing to take 3 minutes to take our annual Converge Podcast Network survey? You'll be entered into a drawing for a $50 Starbucks gift card. All you have to do is text CONVERGE to 31996 and take our quick 3-minute survey. That's CONVERGE to 31996. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
Then the second type of prayer outside of surrender is celebration. In prayer, you bask in the wonder and the power of God, the majesty of your Heavenly Father. You find joy in the reality that He has chosen you, and not only that, He has given you the kingdom. He said He's more than happy to give you the kingdom. You are blown away by the fact that He unleashes His almighty power to meet your needs. You celebrate that you've been forgiven, not only that, you've been rescued and transformed and enabled to deliver the grace that He's poured out onto you. You celebrate that you found joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and He has redeemed you for His purpose and plan. And you also celebrate and you find out this amazing hope that comes from this glorious power of future grace only can come in Christ. Not only has Elohim set you upon a rock that can never be shaken, He's also made His Son come down from heavenly royalty to earthly poverty to live a life like you and me. And now we get to live life with Him. Yes, Emmanuel, God with us. He has invaded your life by His grace. You are never, ever alone. He will not forsake you. This is why we celebrate. We celebrate in prayer when we find out the peace that surpasses all understanding, and that those who keep their minds and hearts on the Lord will be at perfect peace, He says. And He says, we rejoice in today and we're glad in it. And we no longer have to look for life in the people, in the situations, in the locations around us, but we have been given a life that is eternally joy, eternally love, eternally peace, eternally patience and goodness and glory and power and majesty and thankfulness. All those things which are so undeserving, which are blessings that we have not did anything to earn, but God said He still yearned to send His Son to give us all things. But maybe you're asking yourself after all that, so Rashawn, are you saying that I can't ask God for things? Are you saying that I can't, you know, throw out my requests for blessings and things to happen in my life? Is that what you're saying? And I wouldn't be hard-pressed to say today, that's not necessarily what I'm saying. Does true prayer include making requests of God? Sure it does. It does. God encourages us to cast our cares and our anxieties upon Him, because He really does care for us. But the request of true prayer are always in the context of surrender and celebration. It is surrender, a kind of celebration that keeps those requests from being selfish demands or bitter complaints. This kind of prayer is a tool of God's grace in our life, how He uses our prayers to sort of enable us to move from glory to glory, from faith to faith, deeper into the calling and purposes that He has for our lives. As you put God in His proper place and celebrate your place as His child, prayer becomes a tool that God uses to free you. Come on now, free you from the bondage that you've been bounded to. Wow, from the bondage, the thing that you've been bounded to. Now that's grace. God wants to free us so we can in turn free others and show them this hope, this beauty, this power, this glory that comes in knowing his son, Jesus. And it's all so undeserving. And as I end this podcast, I want to leave you with one last thing. I want to leave you with something to ponder on. If you don't take anything from what I said in this message, take this. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. God answers the prayers of sinners. God answers the prayers of sinners, not perfect people. If you don't hear anything I'm saying right now, listen to this, because it's so important that you understand the state of your heart, the position of your heart whenever you go to pray to God. We go to God not as perfect people, but as sinners, forgiven people, but as sinners who have a broken and contrite heart. Whenever you think you're perfect, you become perfectly paralyzed in praying on things that are not God's desire and delight for your life. God wants you to be so focused and fixed on doing his will that he hears his will through your prayers, not your own. I could show it in numerous ways, numerous times throughout the text, where God hears the cries of sinful people whose very sins had gotten them into trouble, from which they were crying for deliverance in Psalms chapter 38, 4 through 15. But let it be known, there's ways that we're supposed to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, it was so clear that the version that came out of the Lord's Prayer in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 2 through 4, Jesus says, when you pray, he answered this, ask for forgiveness for your sins. I take this very message whenever he says that, hallowed be thy name. You know, that's how we glorify God, which means that Jesus assumes that we need to seek forgiveness virtually every time we pray. In other words, we are always sinners, guys, no matter how you put it, no matter how you look at your life, how great you think you are or how terrible you think you are, how old, how young, how rich, how poor, no matter where you are in your life, you're a sinner. Right now, you've fallen short of the glory of God, and this is the important thing that we all must grasp and understand. Nothing we do is perfect. We need to come to God as beggars. We need to come to Jesus as people who are needing him, who are desperately needing him. We have nothing right. We have nothing together. You know, and because of this, God yearns for the prayers of the sinner, but he turns away from the prayers of the perfect people. And God does not turn away from people who say they are hurt and they're broken. The next thing I would like to share about is in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And he says this, he says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus calls his disciples evil. You know, I could see if he called the Pharisees evil. I could see if he called some of the sinful, you know, prostitutes and all the people all throughout the land that he caught red-handed in their sin, their troubles, their problems. But listen, he called the ones who are following him evil. His people, he called them evil. Pretty strong language, right? And he did not mean that they were out of fellowship with him. He did not mean that they were far from him or that they were confused about their life or they're doing everything wrong. But he said simply that, yes, you are evil. And I'm not saying your prayers won't be answered, but this is a requirement that you know that you are not perfect. You're not ever going to be perfect outside of me, outside of who I am, your Lord and Savior. He meant that as long as this fallen age lasts, as long as we live in this dark, broken, devastated, sin-filled world, even his own disciples, you and me, maybe you're listening right now, you and I, we're evil, our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. Who could know the heart of a man? Even his own disciples will have an evil bent in their heart that populates everything they do, including me and you. Everything we do will have a touch of brokenness, have a touch of sinfulness. Everything we do, we cannot guard our motives in our heart to the certain degree where it obtains perfection. It just won't happen. You know, we need God's grace, his power, and his goodness. We need to rely on it every single day, every single hour. We're simultaneously evil and redeemed at the same time. So if you don't hear anything I'm saying, listen to this right now. We are simultaneously evil and redeemed at the same time. We're simultaneously beautiful and broken at the same time. We are gradually overcoming evil moment by moment in the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But our native corruption was obliterated the moment that Adam and Eve sinned against God. And since then, we still have to come to God in prayer as beggars, sinners, who recognize and renounce and fight against sin and cling strongly to the cross of Christ and everything we do as our hope and our salvation. And God will hear our prayers when we come to him like this. Long for him. Say, God, I need you. I am broken. He's near to the brokenhearted, those with a contrite spirit. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He didn't say, draw near perfect and I'll draw near to you. But he says, draw near to me. Well, guys, I am super encouraged that you took a moment to listen into the podcast this week. I definitely want you to take a moment to review, rate, and subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't yet, send this over to a friend that you think it will encourage. Some of your friends in your Bible study, maybe it's some classmates, or, you know, maybe it's a family member, that grandma or that aunt, that you know that it will be an extreme encouragement to. That would be such a blessing. Also wanted to let you guys know, feel free to reach out to me at any time. Text me, give me a call at 678-667-6582. Let me know what you're thinking, you know, about this podcast. If it's encouraging you, if it's, you know, challenging you, is it, you know, really helping you get a better view of God, a better view of yourself, your identity in Christ, and also if is it helping you move deeper into the calling that God has for your life. I know each and every one of you have a story that God wants you to share, because not only is your story, but your story is his story, and that's how the history and the beauty of God is shown forth today, is because what he did in your life yesterday. So be encouraged and share your story with this world, because we overcome. Come on now. The scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And I want to encourage you with that today, is that someone needs that hope. You know, someone's in the dark right now and they need to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And only you may have that story, that moment, those details that they can discover within your story. There's things that they want to learn from your life, and they want to hear how you met Jesus Christ. So make sure you do that, guys. That's my biggest encouragement. And continue to pray, press in to God's heart. We'll see you next week. Be encouraged. Know you're loved deeply. And I pray that God continues to bless you as you seek him. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com. With so many podcasts to choose from, we're glad you chose to tune in today. We'd like to invite you to listen to one of our other Converge podcast partners. Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo is all about having a dream or calling to serve God, but also putting daily action steps into play along the journey. Great encouragement for those looking to do big things for God. Subscribe today to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo.